I don't always like starting out with a, you know, an illustration or something like that. I mean, I like going directly into the word, the scriptures. But I heard a song on the radio, and I kept, you know how you get a song and you just keep singing it over and over and over? And it was a song that came out, I think it was back probably in the late 80s, with the movie The Color of Money with Paul Newman and Tom Cruise. And if you haven't seen it, it's a really cool movie because there's a lot of tricks going on. It's sort of like that other Robert Redford, Paul Newman movie, The Sting. There's just when you think you know what's happening, you don't know what's happening because someone's pulling a trick on someone else. But there was a song that Eric Clapton wrote called "It's in the Way That You Use It." And I just sang it and sang it and sang it. And you never make it to the end. I've always heard that was the trick of getting a song out of your mind, is you sing it the whole way through and then it leaves. But I kept getting stuck on the verse, "Nobody's right." I'll try to do it my best, Eric Clapton. "Nobody's right till somebody's wrong. Nobody's weak till somebody's strong. No one gets lucky till luck comes along. No one's lonely till somebody's gone." And it goes on. But that's all the further I made it. And, you know, there's nothing super profound about those lyrics. Probably any of us could have sat down and penned them. But it just started to remind me of the contrasts of the things that we appreciate, the things that we miss when circumstances change or when they're put into contrast with what we're doing. And I thought that was very, very similar to some of the things that Paul was saying in his letter to the Romans. Paul was writing about peace. But between the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans and the gospel I just read, it's tough to find peace. Exactly. It's tough to find peace in those words. And trust me, I don't mind at all. So don't worry about that. I like the course. But it's tough to find peace when there's so much talk of judgment. And Paul writes everything that was written in the past. Mind you, he's talking about the Old Testament. Most people, when you bring up the Old Testament, talk about God's judgment. Oh, what an angry God. What an angry God you have. Paul's saying everything written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. God was merciful throughout all the Old Testament. It's all in how you look at it. We sometimes read those pages and you see judgment and anger. But you got to remember, the people were running away from God the whole time. Come on, Moses just led them out through the Red Sea, a sea that parted so they could walk through on dry land and then came together to crush Pharaoh chasing after them. Is that not miraculous? Wouldn't that make your head explode? It's like, how does that happen? I don't know. Let's collect up all the gold and build some false idol and dance around it. What was going through everyone's mind? They were loco. And yet, the Lord continued to come back, patiently waiting for His people, continually offering them mercy. I think reading through some of those scriptures are helpful. Jan, we still doing Genesis this year or next year? It's a maybe. Okay, it's a possibility. It's nice to dive into the Old Testament, and we get to see the Lord's patience, His promises, so that the people had something to hold on to. They had hope. They had not just a wish, they had an expectation that God's promise would come true. And that's what helped them get through the bad times. We look around in the news today, and that's all you hear is bad news, bad news. But as Christians, we have hope. We know that Christ has already won. We're still going through some of the pains, but He has won. We must also be patient. I like how Paul writes, he brings up four different verses here, and you might not really get the meaning. It almost seems like he's kind of just grasping things, but Paul knew the scriptures. He knew them like the back of his hand, as many people did. They could quote them. They had them memorized because they didn't toss books around like we have today. But Paul reads, or Paul writes there, "For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles," that's us people, "may glorify God for his mercy." And then he has these four verses. "As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns in your name." This is Paul quoting from the book of Psalms. It's a psalm that this particular area is talking about the Jewish people going out and telling those who are not a part of God's family. This is, you know, God's nation, the Jewish people. They're saying, "I will go out and tell them about God. Out of the family to let others know who he is." And again, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." I thought it was just the Jews that God came for. Not according to the book of Deuteronomy. "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." Come on in. Be a part of the group. And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples." Not just with us Gentiles, but corporately, bring praises to him. You yourself, look to the Lord who is there. And the final verse from Isaiah. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will hope in him." The Jews are going to go tell the Gentiles about God. The Jews and Gentiles are going to worship that God together. The Gentiles are going to worship that God. And the root of Jesse will come so the Gentiles can have hope through those dark times. I think it's just it's wonderful. You know, Paul was not one just to grab verses, and you have to look into the purpose behind the verses he grabbed. It's really neat. Would we appreciate peace if we didn't go through a little bit of suffering, a little bit of hardships? Would we be able to tell what is true peace if there weren't times when we had maybe some valleys that we went through? I'm not saying that God always brings those valleys. Things just happen. But I think that it allows us to appreciate what he's done for us a bit more. We read the scriptures and we hear about the low valleys the Hebrews walked through, but we also see about the mountain peaks that they went through as well, that the Lord picked them up and saved them. I think that's what kindles our peace, our hope, is that we know we have someone who's above us that can bring us this. And it is the only way we'll get peace. Paul ends with a fantastic closing. It's a benediction I wish you all. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God give you peace, a peace only he can bring, to lift you out of those bad places, those sad times. And may you overflow with hope, with a solid expectation that he will come through with all of his promises." I came across this illustration I'll close with. I thought it was kind of neat. It's about balancing between suffering and pleasure, or balancing between fulfillment and longing. It has to do with a family that went through the Great Depression. I don't think any of us here went through the Great Depression, but we've heard stories about it, certainly. But a man and his family were farmers, and it was a very, very bad year during the Depression. And the crops weren't growing very well. They weren't able to harvest nearly enough food to make it through the winter months. But they did harvest up a bunch of potatoes. Now here's the dilemma. The family's hungry, and yet you need something to plant for next year. Or you need food for next year. So what do you do? The dad thought. He said, well, we could eat all the potatoes and certainly fill our bellies now, but then we are going to suffer later. Or we could suffer now and we'll be fulfilled later. So he took a little bit of both. When he peeled the potatoes, he cut them really, really thick. He skinned them thick. And so they ate the middles of the potatoes. They cooked them up and ate them, and everyone thought it was the best tasting potatoes they'd ever had because they were hungry. But the big, thick skins that he cut off, they planted. And those skins came up the next year. So they went through, they didn't get to eat all the potatoes, they got to eat a little bit. They got to enjoy a little now instead of filling their bellies. And next year when the harvest came up, they had wonderful potatoes to harvest. We get to experience a little bit of God's joy and His peace now. There's still some rough times ahead. But we know that there is a bigger harvest coming up. It's right around the bend. Who knows the day or the time? Not I. But we know that we'll have a great harvest when we actually get to see the Prince of Peace face to face. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.